Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
The 0-1, lined into center, there's Bader, has it! 17 consecutive wins! The run of 21! It's been historic, amazing, incredible! And now the St. Louis Cardinals are postseason bound!
That's Bally Sports announcer Dan McLaughlin announcing the final out for the St. Louis Cardinals win over the Milwaukee Brewers and ensuring the Cardinals' wild card game appearance Wednesday night against the Los Angeles Dodgers. I think incredible, that is unbelievable, does sum it up. I had given up on my Cardinals, and then 17 games in a row at the exact right time. And my wife will tell you, I've changed my mind. Well, anything can happen in one game of baseball, and the wild card game is just one game of baseball. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, October the 5th. We're going to be talking with Rick Horton, St. Louis Cardinals play-by-play and color commentator, about the National League wildcard game. Then we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on John the Baptist pointing to Jesus in Matthew 3 and John 1. Joining us to talk about the National League wildcard game, Rick Horton. He's St. Louis Cardinals play-by-play and color commentator, former pitcher for the Cardinals, the Los Angeles Dodgers, and the Chicago White Sox, and he's director of the Greater St. Louis Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Rick, welcome back.
Oh, Todd, always good to be with you, and it's an exciting time to be a Cardinal fan.
I think most Cardinal fans, including myself, had given up on the season. How do you explain the turnaround?
Well, I first want to address that you're right. Most had, and you can't find anybody that expected them to win 17 in a row. I think there was a general sense that they were better than what they were showing. So I think everybody kind of agrees with that, too. It's interesting. Nolan Arenado, just moments ago in the press conference, I'm actually at Dodger Stadium right now, sitting in one of the seats behind home plate, getting ready to watch the workout. Nolan Arenado credits Paul Goldschmidt. Adam Wainwright credits a lot of things going on the offensive side, but he particularly points to Tyler O'Neill being in the third spot. And there are others that credit the Cardinals management getting some veteran pitchers in, getting in John Lester and Jay Happ and Wade LeBlanc and fortifying the bullpen. And I would say all of those things are true. And also the fact that they have a manager in Mike Schilt that is one of the most positive, supportive type managers you're ever going to find. And I think all of that mixed together was the secret sauce.
Do you agree with Mike Schilt's decision there to start Adam Wainwright against the Dodgers in this crucial game?
I do. Adam Wainwright has thrown 206 innings for the Cardinals this year, which is crazy good compared to, especially if you're 40 years old, it's amazing that he can have that kind of strength and fortitude to get through a season and be as good as he is. 17 game winner. The next highest Cardinal total innings pitched was 106. So he threw 100 more innings than anybody else in this year. And he has reestablished himself as the ace, at least right now. And I think it's the right choice, and he's up for it. And Wayno's a wonderful Christian man, but he's also a great competitor, too. He was asked today about his friendship with Albert and Kershaw on the other side with the Dodgers, and he says, oh, yeah, we're friends. I'm not talking to him now, though. We'll talk later, but we're not talking now.
So Wainwright ended up as the closer on the Cardinals' 2006 World Championship team. Do you recall a pitcher who so dramatically changed his style of pitching and has had this kind of success that Wainwright has had, especially this season?
No, I mean, and Adam has changed, and he was actually talking about that just moments ago, too, here at Dodger Stadium. And what he said is, you know, I went through his phase where I realized I was getting older and I had to change my style. And he said, I tried a few styles, and I tried to be like, you know, all the guys that are pitching up in the zone, and that doesn't work for me. I had to find the style that works for me. And he said, you know, there was a time where I felt older than I was, and now I feel younger than I am. So I think he just has found the right kind of way to change speeds and do what he does. Like he's an artist, really, when he pitches. And, you know, just like any artist, whether you're singer or painter, you're going to try some styles and figure out what fits you and what what is hand in glove with the way you kind of operate. And I think that's what he came to, and it's really been magical what he's done.
Will he be on a short leash as a starter for this game?
I think he will be, and that's a great question. You know, I think he's certainly a guy you feel like he's capable of pitching 8, 9, 10. I mean, he's physically well enough to do that. But I think if you're up against Max Scherzer for the Dodgers, you are not going to get a lot of chances to score. And if you get in the fifth inning and you've got a guy at second and third, I mean, I just think you might see Wainwright go four innings and get pinch hit for. Not because he can't go longer, and that's not a short leash for that reason, but a short leash because we're not going to miss out on some opportunities. And when you have a one-and-done type situation, you've got a whole bunch of guys in the bullpen ready to go, I think that's possible.
Well, speaking of the bullpen there, obviously the bullpen becomes more important during the postseason. How confident are you of the Cardinals' bullpen?
I think they're really good right now. I really feel good about the mix. Gallegos now at the end, and you know, they got the big three, Gallegos and Cabrera and Alex Reyes, and they've kind of switched roles a little bit. But they're still, you know, all of them throw 98 to 100 miles an hour regularly. I mean, they're just, they've got great stuff, and they're really kind of calm, cool, and collected guys. And I think, you know, any of the control issues that a couple of them had are kind of in the rearview mirror. Plus, they have a deeper bullpen. Cody Whitley is there, and T.J. McFarland has been a double play machine, and Luis Garcia has been outstanding as well. So I just think the bullpen's deeper, and when you're deeper, you don't, you actually feel a little less stress as a guy. Even if it's a one-and-done game, you realize that, look, I've got other people to support me here. It's not just about me. And then sometimes that frees you up to just get the job done yourself.
There had been some concern earlier in the season that Schilt was wearing his bullpen out. Do you think was that legitimate, or has it been resolved?
I think it's kind of a standard feeling that we all get, especially when you realize that the only way we win is when we see the three guys that were pitching, because there was a time where it was just three and that was it. And if you're going to win, it was those big three, and there was not another choice. Everybody else was not throwing strikes. And so if you look at their total number of innings, they're kind of not out of line. Their appearances are kind of towards the top, but innings, not really. Alex Reyes, they wanted to throw him 100 innings this year. He ended up throwing in the 70s. So it's not that he was overworked as far as innings are concerned. They're very careful about when they get a guy up, they get him in. They don't overthrow him in between. So I don't think they're overworked. And I think the last week of the season, we didn't see much of them at all. So I think they're going to be primed and ready to go for October.
Now, the Cardinals are going to be facing three-time Cy Young Award winner and a St. Louis native, by the way, Max Scherzer. And he is 2-0 against the Cardinals this season, giving up only one earned run in 14 innings. What hitting matchups do you like for the Cardinals against Scherzer?
Well, it's hard to say you love any matchup against Max Scherzer. That's how good he is. So the two that I like the most are Tommy Edman and Paul Goldschmidt, number one and two in the order, because, and I'll start with Goldschmidt. Goldschmidt is the type of player that, they're very rare, but they're the type of player that hits anybody. Now, I don't mean anybody all the time. He's human. He has bad games. He strikes out three or four times against whoever. But the point is, there's nobody that, you know, you go up there and say, he's got no chance against this guy. Goldie has a chance against everybody. And so that's why he's on top of my list. And Tommy Edman's the same kind of guy. He's had such a good eye at the plate. And he's very smart, disciplined guy in the leadoff spot. I think both those guys can hit just about anybody. And the key really to beat Scherzer is he's going to make – so most pitchers in a game, most starting pitchers are going to make 10 to 12 mistakes in the middle of the plate that they wish they hadn't done. And they're going to get away with some of them. Max Scherzer makes about four or five, maybe, on a given game. So you better be ready for those four, and you better be ready to find a way to manufacture a run against him. And Goldie and Tommy would be the guys that would fit that mold, too, as run manufacturer type guys.
Is the value of postseason experience overrated or underrated?
I think it's appropriately rated. That's a great question, because I think people will talk about it a lot. And I think there's reasons to talk about it a lot because, you know, it's like guys who get to the big leagues from the minor leagues, you get that aha moment when you realize there's an extra deck on top of the stadium and there's 40,000 people. And it's like, you know, you got to swallow hard before you actually play that game. I think when you get in the postseason and you realize the attention is worldwide and it is every eye on you and all the other teams have stopped playing and all the other teams are watching you. I mean, it is a big deal. Having done it, I did it in 85 and 87 and 88. It is a thing to have to deal with. And the best way to deal with it from the player's point of view is to try to treat it as a normal game. But, you know, you're getting that from the veterans that know that's what you have to do. So veteran presence is helpful. And then you just have to kind of block out the emotions and all the craziness that goes on. And I always felt, Todd, that I felt the World Series 2 months after it actually happened, because I was so kind of focused on just doing what I was doing, and I compartmentalized a lot of things during those October moments that I was a part of, and then ended up kind of dealing with it and feeling it months later.
How do you treat it like a normal game when you know you don't have the cushion of a whole season's play to work with?
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting thing. I think the you don't have a cushion, and you know that it's one and done, and you know you have to score more runs than the other team, and all of those things. The way I would say it is this: all those things are outcome realities, and players are trained to think of process. They would rather perform well and let the performance dictate. I mean, if your goal is to win the game that day, that's not really a strategy. That's just a goal. That's a hope. That's a thing. But the process is, I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to study Scherzer. I'm going to find a way to get a hit against him. I'm going to find a way to steal a base off of Smith. I mean, that's the strategy process stuff that guys go through. And as long as they're focused on process and not results, they're better off.
What are your thoughts on Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina matching up again this next year?
I just think it's fun. Todd, these guys are so, I mean, you got a guy from a real Southern Christian gentleman from South Georgia that is the kind of the guy you want to live next door to you. I mean, he'll come over and mow your lawn for you if you ask him. I mean, this is Adam's just as nice a guy as you're going to meet. And then he's somehow gotten connected with and paired with a guy from a tough area and a poor area, I should say, of Puerto Rico. And yet they're matched together and they're joined at the hip and they're buddies and they have had this long career together. And I just think it's fun to think of not only how long they've been a Cardinal, but the fact they're going to continue to be a Cardinal, but the fact that, you know, these are two very different people that baseball has brought together. And that's what baseball can do. Baseball can be a bridge builder and a connector in ways that when you're on the inside of it, you see it happen. I see it happen every day. I see people come together and cheer over a baseball moment, a team, a success. And I just think that that's one of the beauties of it.
I was kind of surprised to hear Wainwright tell the press a couple months ago that this myth that nobody shakes Yadi off is not true in his case, that he does, and yet they still work together the way they do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that is a myth. I think I actually think that's a myth for every pitcher. I think every pitcher should shake Yadi off. And I've always been pretty strong on that. And what I say about that is I don't view that as disrespect for Yadi. So what I would say is Yadi knows what a pitcher should be throwing. He's the second person on the planet for any pitcher on the Cardinal team. He's got the second best piece of advice. You're the first, because you know how the ball feels in your hand. You know you've got a feeling about throwing a slider. You've got even more of a recollection with you and that particular hitter, because Yadi has to remember 20 pitchers and all of past history. But you've had history with them even that Yadi wasn't there for. Maybe in the minor leagues, maybe in college, maybe in spring training, maybe in a summer league, maybe, who knows? You know, I mean, I always knew pitching to Darryl Strawberry, I knew what I wanted to do. The catcher makes a suggestion, and the better he knows you, the more often that suggestion is going to be right. But I don't think of those moments as battles per se. I think of the catcher as making a suggestion, and Yadi, again, he's second person on the planet that you would want to call every pitcher a pitcher, but the pitcher needs to think about it first.
Do baseball managers give motivational speeches like coaches in other sports in big games like Wednesday's wild card?
They really don't. And now, although I would say, you know, as I sit here in Dodger Stadium, I can't help but to think about the legacy of the great Tommy Lasorda, and I was on the World Series team in this ballpark in 1988 when Kirk Gibson hit a dramatic home run, and we ended up beating the Oakland A's in Oakland. But Tommy was a rah-rah, win one for the Gipper type manager. He would give a speech before a game, and he'd typically be, it wouldn't be long, 5 or 10 minutes, but he would talk about the Dodger pride and what it means to be a Dodger, and you represent it. And, you know, he would say all these things. And, I mean, honestly, it was good stuff. It was, that was just his character. Whitey Herzog, the exact opposite. He felt like, look, if you need me to do that, then that's not the guy I want on my team. I want a guy that is going to be prepared and going to be professional, and he wouldn't do that. So the answer is most do not. Tommy Lasorda did. I think Mike Schilt is a guy that prefers the tactic of having small group discussions where guys talk about baseball together, and he calls it ball talk, and they have been doing that before games every day since he's been the manager. That's his thing, and he's going to keep doing that no matter the magnitude of the game.
Two final questions. I've seen some criticism of the wild card element in the playoffs as unfair, and some people say this matchup really shows it because there's a demonstrably better season with the Dodgers 16 more games, and they could be eliminated in just one game. I know that anything can happen in baseball, but some say that seems unfair. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think no matter where you draw the line, it's going to potentially be unfair for somebody. So the Pittsburgh Pirates didn't get into the playoffs several years ago under Clint Hurdle, and they won 97 games because there was not a second wild card. And so was that fair? Well, and then you think about the Cardinal team in 1935, this Cardinal team broke the record of most wins in a row. That 35 team came in second place, and they won close to 100 games because they had no playoffs. I mean, they had no wild card. It was just you win the league or you go home. So it kind of depends on where you draw the line. And so I don't really think of it as unfair. I think of it as great for baseball. I thought the last few days having Toronto and Seattle a chance to be in the playoffs, that would have been wonderful. I think it's still great. The fact that the Red Sox and the Yankees get to actually play that wild card, it's great for baseball. And so you've got a lot of teams with winning tradition in the playoffs. And I think baseball is on a good trajectory coming out of, hopefully coming out of the pandemic. And I think it'll be good for business in 2022 and beyond that they do have the wild card. And if players would say that, hey, we weren't good enough to beat the Giants. I mean, yeah, they were really good, but they didn't beat the Giants. So in some ways it's like, okay, you're lucky you're in the playoffs and we're not, and we're doing a wild card to begin with. And so whether it's your wild card one or wild card two, you're still just kind of got a thinner chance. And that's just kind of the way the dice are rolled.
Rick, you're the director of the Greater St. Louis Fellowship of Christian Athletes. What's going on with the FCA?
Well, FCA is just growing by leaps and bounds, and we've found ways to connect athletes and coaches, and we've actually found ways to do camps and do them safely. Last summer, and our leadership camp is what we always say is the most important thing we do. But we're just finding ways to connect athletes in unique ways. I mean, nothing's as good as being together. We know that, and I think the pandemic has kind of proven that the importance of fellowship and sharing hearts and lives and growing certainly in your faith more important than as an athlete. So that's kind of our heartbeat, and it still continues to be that. Having a high school group is still the centerpiece of what we do. Getting influence on coaches, and we've actually trained more coaches and been connected with more coaches during the pandemic because of Zoom. And so we've done more outreach, I should say, to a larger area of people to talk about what does it mean to coach in a godly way. And I'm really excited about that. And nothing beats being together again, and we're hoping that continues to grow. But our St. Louis area FCA is just thriving, and I'm just proud to be a part of it.
You'll find a link to the Greater St. Louis Fellowship of Christian Athletes at our website, issuesztc.org, or call 636-827-7100. Rick Horton is a St. Louis Cardinals play-by-play and color commentator, former pitcher for the Cardinals, the Los Angeles Dodgers, and the Chicago White Sox, and he's director of the Greater St. Louis Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Rick, thank you very much.
Always great to be with you, Todd.
Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel joins us on the other side to teach a Sunday school lesson. We'll be talking about John the Baptist pointing to Jesus in Matthew 3 and John chapter 1. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
17 went down in just one fall. Now Gibby's in the hall. Cardinals have tradition. Each year they have a mission to end up in the classic in the fall.
Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
Is your church celebrating a major anniversary soon? Ad Crucem can help with customized products to commemorate the event. We can create church banners, ornaments with an image of the church or your logo. We can even make stickers to hand out to members. We also recommend Kelly Schumacher create a painting of your church with matching greeting cards. Visit adcrucem.com and search for Church Anniversary for more details. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. simplyclassical.com.
The pursuit of truth is the best way to prepare students for lives of responsible freedom and vocational service in family, church, and career. At Concordia University Chicago, truth is one of the pillars of our education, and that makes all the difference for our students. I'm Dr. Eli Hesterman, Dean of the College of Health, Science, and Technology at Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth to become a pillar of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.